بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. وقال تعالى: المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzah has created this insan such that each and every person finds within himself an innate inclination to transgress and disobey the law and the command of Allah. Yet at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within each and every person the potential, the ability, the capacity to overcome these inclinations and to lead his life in a manner that will bring about the happiness and the pleasure of Allah. This internal conflict which rages within the heart and mind of a person has been mentioned in Quran, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah has created within each person the natural inclination for disobedience as well as obedience. And thereafter, in very clear terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That successful is that person who makes an effort to purify himself. He makes an effort to turn his weaknesses into strengths. He makes an effort to cause his positive attributes to overpower his negative attributes. And he leads his life in a manner that is in complete compliance and accordance to the will and the command of Allah. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And doomed is that person who allows himself to self-destruct. His negative attributes overpower his positive qualities. No effort is made to purify himself. And he leads his life in a manner that will earn the wrath, the displeasure and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these inclinations and attributes within the heart of each and every person, ulama have explained when these very same attributes and inclinations will be channeled in the correct direction, when an effort will be made to make the correct decisions as far as my life is concerned, then rather than these attributes and inclinations becoming a means of this person's doom and destruction in this world, they will become a sabab and a means for him securing his place in the gardens of Jannah. Each and every day that a person lives in the life of this world, he will find himself faced with this choice every step of his life. Do I direct my health, wealth and resources in those avenues that will bring about the anger and the displeasure of Allah? Or do I make an effort to utilize those resources in those avenues that will make Allah happy? And we find, my respected brothers and elders, from the verse that was recited in the beginning, that during the life of a person in this world, there will be two major obstacles and barriers. Two obstacles that will impair a person's judgment, that will hinder his decision making, and ultimately may cause him to make the incorrect decisions as far as his life is concerned. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Allah says, your wealth and your children are a test for you. الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Wealth and children are the embellishment, the adornment of this worldly life. They will dazzle the eye, they will catch the heart. And a person will think to himself, what and what can I not achieve with the wealth Allah has given me? What heights can my children not achieve as far as their future is concerned? Yet when it comes to these two things within the life of a person as well, ulama explain that if a person will make an effort to direct these assets and these possessions in the correct direction and to spend them in the correct avenue, then rather than them being a liability, they will become an asset for a person to secure and to make his akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes and understands that during the life of a person in this world, he will have an attachment to his wealth. He will have a natural attachment to his children. He will want the best for them as far as this world is concerned. But when an effort is made to steer it in the correct direction, what will be the outcome? Abu Talha radiallahu anhu is an Ansari Sahabi. He is living during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahi comes down. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain righteousness. You will never attain piety. You will never achieve true closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do not spend from that which is most beloved to you. Abu Talha hears this. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, I have read in the book of Allah that a person will never attain righteousness and piety if he does not spend that which is beloved to him. O Nabi of Allah, from all my possessions and belongings in this world, from all that Allah has blessed me with in this world, the most beloved possession to me is a garden by the name of Biruha. And this garden has been mentioned by the narrator of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequent this garden. He would take rest under the shade of the tree. He would consume the sweet and fresh water that was available in that garden. He says, from all the possessions Allah has given me, the most beloved to me is this particular garden, which was located very close to Masjid al-Nabawi. He says, if this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, I make you my witness, I have given it over to Allah and His Rasul. And then he says, أرجو برها وذخرها عند الله. I have high hopes that when I am most in need, when I am standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will see the fruits of my sacrifice. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? بَخِنْ يَا أَبَا طَلْحَ ذَاكَ مَالٌ رَابِحٌ. Well done, O Abu Talha, what a profitable deal you have made. What a wonderful transaction you have concluded. An effort was made to spend his wealth in the correct avenue. Look at the fruits, look at the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reserve for him in the hereafter. Likewise, my respected brothers and elders, when it comes to the second obstacle, a person's love and attachment that he has for his children, here also when the correct decisions are made, when the right investments are made as far as our children's futures are concerned, here also a person will reap the rewards in the court of Allah. In the time of one of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam of the past, there was a young man who had passed away. And he left behind a young wife and young child. After some time, his widow sees him in a dream. And this young man is undergoing a great amount of adab and punishment in the qabr. Of course, this widow, this young woman is perturbed, she is disturbed. But there is nothing much she can do to help her husband. She makes dua for him. But he continues to be punished. And then after some time passes, once again she sees him in a dream. But this time his condition is different. Now he has a radiant smile on his face. And he is roaming in the gardens of Jannah, enjoying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is asked, what brought about a change in his taqdeer, in his fortune? According to one narration, the angels ask Allah, that, O Allah, not too long ago you had commanded us to increase and intensify his punishment. Now the command has come, uplift and remove that punishment. What has brought about this change in fortune and taqdeer for this person? The answer comes that today the son of that man has come of age. And his mother, being a righteous woman, had enrolled this young boy in some madrasa to learn the word of Allah. After much effort and initial learning of the Arabic alphabet, today was the day he took the name of Allah on the surface of this earth. Allah felt ashamed to continue punishing the father who was in the grave. Again, a decision was made to direct a person's child in the correct avenue. The correct investment was made. When he needed it the most, it came to his rescue. These two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a person with, al-malu wal-banoon, a person's wealth and a person's children in the life of this world. When it comes to our wealth, we find, respected brothers and elders, that regardless of the financial status of a person, no matter which side of the scale he may be, but each and every person has a concern when it comes to my possessions and my belongings that I have in this world. what will be my condition in the future? The inflation rate is on the rise. The petrol price is increasing. Things are becoming increasingly unaffordable. And if I am merely making ends meet today, what will my condition be in 2 or 3 years' time? But when the correct investments are made as far as our wealth is concerned, when our wealth will be channeled in the correct direction and avenue, then not only in this world will Allah take care of a person, but in the hereafter also He will reap the rewards. And when it comes to a person's children and offspring, which parent doesn't have that care, concern and worry for his children? We find the fear that is on the mind of each and every person, that when I leave this world, what will happen to my children? Who will be there to take care of them? Who will be there to look after them? Today I am responsible for providing for them. But what will happen when I am no longer here to see to their needs? Once again, if the correct decisions are made, if the correct investments are made, then more than anybody having to provide for them in this world, that child will now provide for me comfort, rahat, sukoon, contentment when I am in my grave. When I am most in need, when my a'mal have come to an end, when there is no longer that opportunity and avenue available of charity, of sadaqah, when I do not have the strength, or I have left this world, I do not have the ability to perform any more nafil salah, I am unable to do any a'mal that will bring about some reward for me, but I left behind a righteous and pious child. I left behind a child in whom I instilled the correct morals and values. Now when I am most in need, the a'mal and the deeds of that child will come to my rescue. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man is being punished in the qabr, in the grave. And all of a sudden that punishment comes to an end. And he asks, O Allah, what has caused me to be saved? The answer comes, بِاسْتِغْفَارِ وَلَدِكَ لَكَ. It was on account of your righteous child seeking Allah's forgiveness for you. You instilled in him the correct morals and values. We find in today's time, respected brothers and elders, the society that we live in, the communities that we live in, it is no surprise, it is no secret, that there are various issues which are plaguing society. These issues are not hidden, each and every person is aware of them. And we find at the top of the list is the moral degeneration of the ummah. And particularly when it comes to our youth. Speak to those who are teachers in some school, some university. Those are the ustads in the makatib and madaris. And you will find one common theme where 10 or 15 years ago there was a minimum threshold of morals and values, of akhlaq, of adab, of respect and etiquette. Slowly but surely that threshold has also been breached. That every parent is complaining. Every father will complain that I go home, I'm unable to say anything. I'm afraid if I have to caution my child, if I have to warn my child, if I have to command him or her to do something, he will turn into a fit of rage. So therefore I'm unable to guide him and I'm unable to advise him. Every teacher is complaining, every ustad is complaining. Of course, this does not mean, respected brothers and elders, that there is no khair or goodness in our youth. On the contrary, we find Allah has kept such talent, such ability within the youth of the ummah that is unmatched. And we hear and we read and we see the achievements of the youth of the ummah. But by and large, if this ability is not taken care of, if this talent is not nurtured and directed in the correct avenue, if the correct decisions and investments are not made with regard to the futures of our children, then those very same children who were the apples of our eye in this world will unfortunately become our greatest liabilities in the qabr and in the akhirah. Where ulama explained that a person's very own family member will be the first to stop him on the day of qiyamah. The father has earned his jannah, he was in the masjid. He had taken care of the commands of Allah Rabbul Izzah in this world. And he is en route to Jannah. It should not be that my own child is the one who holds me back. That you gave me everything of this world, you saw to my needs. But you deprived me of deen and of iman. You did not instill in me the morals and values that were demanded by Allah Rabbul Izzah. You deprived me of the knowledge of deen. Now I cannot let you go alone. I cannot go to Jahannam alone. You are the one who is responsible. At this point, respected brothers and elders, we find it is human nature that despite the presence of these issues, we adopt an ostrich-like mentality. A person buries his head in the sand and we pretend as though these issues do not exist. If a person may not be directly affected, we find commonly in this world, we are well aware of the increasing crime rate in the different areas around us. But that person who has not been directly affected, you will find he doesn't take much care with regard to his safety and security. His house still does not have an electric fence. He doesn't take care to close the windows and lock the doors at night. He is not too concerned about speaking on his phone when he's at a robot, because the impact of that crime has not affected him as yet. His neighbors will caution him, his community members will warn him that there are so many hijackings, so many robberies. But because he has not been affected, he pretends as though the issue does not exist. It should not be the same when it comes to these issues which are plaguing our deen. That my child, alhamdulillah, thus far has been taken care of and protected. His belief system is sound, his a'mal are sound. And therefore, I don't think these issues will ever affect me or my family. But these issues are a reality, my respected brothers and elders. Where we find that doctor who is assisting in childbirth, and the doctor is asked the question that what is the gender of the child who is to be born? And when the doctor gives the gender, the answer comes that how dare you assign a gender to my child before my child is born? Let the child decide. These are issues that are common, respected brothers and elders, perhaps not in our society as yet. Allah protect us, Allah take care of us, our children, our progenies. But if we are not proactive, if we do not take steps to secure the future of our children and their iman, it should not be that one day we are the ones who are crying. There was a professor in America who had conducted a study. And he did research into the lives of the 50 wealthiest families in America. And when he concluded his study, he writes that a common theme to be found in all these 50 families, the wealthiest families of the country, the common theme to be found amongst all of them was a high rate of depression and suicide, especially amongst the youth of those families. And then in his concluding remarks, he mentions that it is no surprise that with the rise of materialism and as the change in the values of the world began to take place, this coincided with the moral degeneration of the youth. In simple terms, what is he saying? That the blame lies solely and squarely at our feet as parents. When that father whose name is Muhammad, the mother whose name is Aisha, and that son or daughter has been named after the Sahaba or Sahabiyat, and yet that mother or father makes that conscious decision that my child, my son who is now 12 or 13 years old, he has perhaps already reached the age of bulugh or is on the verge of it, but because he has an important exam tomorrow, he cannot read his Isha Salah in the masjid. When that mother makes the decision, my daughter has some extracurricular activities after school, so for this, she has to forego her maktab and her madrasa in the afternoon. Then it will come as no surprise that the morals and values will leave our youth. When the parents have a materialistic mind, that preference is given to the possessions and the things of this world. A better car, a nicer home, a later cell phone, a larger bank balance does not signify happiness and success. Ulama have explained and very beautifully that on one hand we have rahat, contentment, sukoon, peace of mind, which each and every person is seeking, each and every person is searching for, and he wants it for his children. And on the other hand, we have what is known as the asbab of rahat, those things which are the outer means of attaining comfort and happiness and sukoon. Having the asbab and the means of rahat does not necessarily translate to having peace and contentment. How many a times we find that person, he has the most expensive bed that money can buy, the softest pillow that money can buy, He is sleeping in an air-conditioned room. His home is comfortable, his clothing is comfortable. But he cannot buy 1 hour's sleep. He's taking tablet upon tablet. He continues to wake up in the middle of the night. Barely a few hours can pass without his sleep being disturbed. He has everything around him which is supposed to bring him comfort and peace. A person has the best of food in front of him, the best of baking and cooking. But he is unable to consume even one morsel. He's got some condition, the doctor says you are not allowed to eat. The things of rahat and contentment do not necessarily bring contentment and peace. If we will not give preference to the spiritual well-being of our children, and we are not saying that we should not equip our children in this world, by all means equip them with the necessary skills that they need in order for them to pass through the life of this world with relative ease. There is no problem in this. But this should never come at the expense of the spiritual tarbiyat and nurturing of our children. We are now in the season of Dhul-Qa'dah, the season of Hajj. And we find in the coming weeks, the life and the efforts of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam will be discussed. And various different aspects will be spoken about. The amal of qurbani, the journey of Hajj. But there is one aspect in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pertinent to our discussion. And that is the unparalleled, the unmatched tarbiyat and nurturing of the son of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The incident is well known, we have heard it many a time. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded to leave his wife and child. In the barren desert of Makkah Mukarramah, there is nobody there. There is no vegetation, nobody inhabiting that particular place. But it is the command, it is the will of Allah Rabbul Izzah, he submits before the command of Allah. Many years later when he is reunited with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, his young son, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. What is the age of Ismail alayhi salam? Quran says when he reached that age where he was now physically able to help and assist his father. Which every father looks for, now my son can assist and help me. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. O my son, I have seen a dream, and in this dream I am taking your life. The dreams of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are regarded as wahi, direct revelation. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What is your response? What is your suggestion in this regard? Without any hesitation, what is the response? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. He says, O my father, do as you have been commanded to. This was a son who had been separated from his father for many years. But the submission of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam all those years earlier, where the command of Allah was given, leave your wife and child in this barren land, where outwardly there was absolutely no support system for them, what would have spelled certain destruction and death. But when he brought about submission before the will and command of Allah, that translated into the submission coming into his son many years later. As we had mentioned, respected brothers and elders, the issues that are plaguing our society and specifically our youth, if there is anybody to blame, it is us as parents and as elders. When we have not corrected our relationship with Allah Rabbul Izzah, when we have not brought within ourselves an attitude of submission before Allah, when we have not made an effort to correct our lives, then it is inconceivable that our children's lives will become correct. Of course, at times this does happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times will create that child who is righteous and pious, despite his parents being impious and unrighteous. But this is not the norm. This general system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, to the extent of the effort that the parent will make on his own iman and a'mal, the effect will then be seen in his life and in the life of his children. We cannot plant thorns and expect roses to grow. We are all well aware, my respected brothers and elders, what needs to be done within our lives. Each person knows his own shortcomings. Each person knows where he is falling short as far as the commands of Allah are concerned. And of course, this is perhaps not something that can be rectified overnight. But as long as the correct mindset is there, and a person understands what he needs to give preference to in this world, As far as my children are concerned, as far as the future is concerned, do not deprive them of the education of deen. It may be a simple maktab, 1 or 2 hours in the afternoon. It may be one ustad who they are sitting with in the masjid and learning alif bata. But never underestimate the effect that this will have on the life of the child. Perhaps he may not seem to be progressing much as far as his knowledge is concerned. But the spiritual tarbiyat and nurturing that is being done, by being in the company of the malaika, by reading the words of Allah, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that child now reaches adulthood, regardless of his financial condition, regardless of the things he has in this world, that child will be okay. Each and every person has that concern. Each and every parent is worried and concerned. The first solution, respected brothers and elders, is for me to correct my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have mentioned this before and we'll mention it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within our country such avenues of deen which are unmatched throughout the world. Speak to those who have traveled to the Arab lands. Speak to those who have traveled to Muslim countries. Speak to those who have traveled throughout the world and they will say to you, the system that Allah has given us in our country, the avenues for the study and the learning of deen is unmatched throughout the world. It is only us who will be foolish if we fail to take advantage of these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.